turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, if you will. The book of Ecclesiastes, the sermon title tonight is Signs of Slothfulness. Signs of Slothfulness. Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. Once you find it, why don't you stand with me? I'll try not to be lengthy tonight, but I think I want us to grow. I want us to be better because we've come to church. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, find verse number 17. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, starting with verse 17, it says, "Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. Curse not the king, no, not in thy sight, in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter." Verses number 18 and 19 are what we're going to look at this evening. Let me pray for us, and we'll ask the Lord to get in on this thing tonight. Father, bless us with thy presence. I'm glad that we have good attitudes here at our church. We have unity. There are sweet spirits among our people. But God, your spirit is the preeminent one. And not only do we want to have good attitudes, but we want the Holy Spirit's presence. May your spirit rest upon my speech as I teach your word. May your spirit rest upon our ears as we listen. And then, God, may we not only listen with our ears, but might we listen in such a way that we are developed, that we are discipled, that we grow. May we go live what the Spirit speaks to our hearts through thy word tonight, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. My dad used to say to me, he said, "The harder I work, the luckier I get." And you're going to find out that there's just not a shortcut to success. You've got to apply yourself. There's work that's involved. Tonight, we'll talk about that a little bit. The lesson tends toward the development of our personal character, maybe. When we were reading there in verse number 18 of Ecclesiastes 10, it said, "By much slothfulness the building decayeth." God here is speaking about this thing called slothfulness. Another word for slothfulness could be laziness. And what's happened here, a building has decayed because someone was slothful. Someone didn't, did you know that if you have windows on your house, there's a thing called caulking that seals those windows. If you don't keep the windows caulked, then that house is going to deteriorate. It's going to cost you in regard to your heat or your air conditioning. Your bill's going to go up. But not only that, water and moisture can seep into the house, and then it soils the wood, and the humidity is higher. And what happens? Well, it will decay. And God is saying that somebody wasn't taking care of a building. Maybe they didn't clean the pine needles out of the downspouts or the gutters. And as a result of it, then the water builds up, and then it gets down in behind the siding and things like that. There was bare wood on this building, and they didn't get a coat of paint on it to seal it up, or they didn't stain it like they were supposed to. Something broke on this building. Something broke, and they didn't fix it. They just let it go. So what's happening? It's decaying. And the Bible says their hands were idle, and they were not taking care of this building. And it actually talks about someone drops through. Maybe there was a soft spot in the floor, and they didn't get it fixed. Have you ever been somewhere where you put your foot through an old, maybe particle board floor, but their foot went through. And the Bible's saying that there's a building, that building is decaying, and it's decaying because of the individual or the caretaker's slothfulness. They had idle hands. It doesn't say that their hands didn't work. It says their hands wouldn't work. They didn't do what they were supposed to do to care for that building. There are different areas of slothfulness, by the way. You could be slothful in the area of the physical. You could be slothful in the area of the spiritual. I believe that you can be slothful in the area of the emotional or the mental. I know people that are emotionally lazy. I know people that are physically lazy. I know people that are spiritually lazy. So tonight as I teach, I hope you'll keep in mind the different realms of potential slothfulness. Sometimes we think of slothfulness and we think it's just all about the physical. You take this thing of a building. Let's take a house. You give a lazy person a brand new home and they'll figure out a way to destroy it. Give a lazy person a brand new home and they will not attend to it and they'll destroy it. Hey, you give a diligent hard worker an old rundown home and they'll improve it and they'll make it more valuable than the new home of the lazy person that's now deteriorating. And you say, what's the difference? The amount of money they have? Not necessarily. It's the amount of character they have. It's the amount that they apply themselves to attending to what God's given them. My mother-in-law, what a dear, sweet lady. My wife's mom, she used to say to my wife, and I'm glad my wife taught this to my children, but my wife's mom used to say, now you kids, you might not have much, but you've got to take care of what you have. And God's not obligated to give you more if you won't take care of what little bit He's already given you. And you may not have the nicest house in town, but it can be clean. And you might not have the nicest car, but it can be well kept and it can be maintained. And boy, that's good advice. That's just good advice. Hey, did you know hard work might include blisters? Do they still do that? And calluses. And sore muscles. And strained eyes, and weariness of the mind, and sweat. Or ladies don't sweat, they glisten. Did you know that sometimes hard work will give you a headache? Hard work there, sometimes you do without some sleep. Now listen, we are to work ourselves, according to the Bible, we're to work ourselves physically. I believe also we are to work ourselves spiritually. I believe also we are to work ourselves emotionally. And that's an area where a lot of people, a lot of teachers and preachers don't give much attention. Let me tell you something. There's some of you, it's time for you to get on the ball and work at some of your emotions and get them physically fit. Get the home of your emotions in good repair. Make it so that you're not falling apart emotionally. And that's not my lesson tonight. But I'm here to tell you, we can be slothful in many, many different areas. You know, I work at controlling my emotions. I work at not letting them control me. But it is work. And those of you that try to control your emotions, there are times when you're saying, I'm trying really hard right now not to rip your head off. Well, you're supposed to work at that. You're to put pressure on your emotions so that you do the right thing. We're to put pressure. We're to do that physically. We're to do that spiritually. We're to do that emotionally. Now, I think you and I, and I don't think anybody here is going to work either physically, spiritually, or emotionally at the same pace. The Bible says we're not wise comparing ourselves among ourselves. I wouldn't expect you to be exactly like me in any one of those categories. But I'll tell you this, you better make sure that, hey, young people in the back, look right up this direction. If you're going to sit back there, you're going to have to pay attention. Yeah, look right this direction. Listen, I would expect, though, you are to give your best physically and your best emotionally and your best spiritually. Yours might not be like mine and mine might not be like yours, but you're to grow at it and you're to get better at it. And you ought to be striving, especially you should not want to be slothful when it comes to those areas of your life. Now, I'm going to make some general observations about this thing of slothfulness. And you remember, we want to apply it physically. We want to apply it emotionally. We want to apply it spiritually. First of all, slothful people, tomorrow is usually their favorite day for doing things. Tomorrow. There's a big word that they use to describe that. That it's procrastination. That means you're a putter-offer. You're a putter-offer. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:28, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give thee when thou hast it by thee. It's talking about you owe your neighbor something and you just keep putting it off. You say tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Did you know that today is the tomorrow of yesterday? Slothful people tend to be procrastinators. What physical work do you keep putting off till tomorrow? What spiritual work do you keep putting off till tomorrow? What emotional challenge do you keep putting off to tomorrow? There are some of you that have procrastinated your emotions into a deteriorated emotional home. Your emotional status is falling apart because you keep procrastinating. You say, what are you talking about? You keep procrastinating your forgiveness. That's an emotional issue. Because you keep procrastinating your emotions and you keep procrastinating your forgiveness, now you've got a knot in your stomach and you've got yourself all riled up and the sky is falling and everything's falling apart and you should have taken care of that forgiveness a long time ago. But you haven't. What is that? That's a part of slothfulness. Emotional slothfulness. Some of you, you know what we all do at the beginning of the year? At November and December, we say, in January, I tell you what I'm going to start. What is it? A diet. And we're getting close to that time of the year, aren't we? We're getting close to where we're going to say, well, it's Thanksgiving, it's Christmas, and eating 400 cookies is not bad. And starting in January, let's be careful, folks. Let's be careful. Hey, we seem to want to wait until tomorrow. There are people in here. You say, I'm going to get my finances under control next month, next week. No, that's why you have some of the struggles you have. You procrastinated. We procrastinate starting dates and forgiveness. Some of you say, I'm going to get involved in that soul winning program. Here's the spiritual. I'm going to get involved in that soul winning program down at the church someday. Why do you procrastinate? You've been saying that too long. I'm going to remove that bitterness from my heart someday. Slothful people tend to want to put things off till tomorrow. Secondly, slothful people find themselves with a lot of unfinished projects. Unfinished projects. Weak character causes us not to finish what we start. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2, listen to this. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I'll tell you what, we ought to be glad that he finished what he started. Jesus was a finisher. In John 19:30, the Bible says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. He's a finisher. The apostle Paul was a finisher. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, he said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Folks, we need in America to get back to finishing what we start. I happen to believe America could have did themselves a favor. I think we could have did ourselves a favor probably with the Vietnam War. We probably could have taken a couple more steps and taken it a little bit farther. And I'm not here to debate that. I am just going to tell you, America, we're not finishers like we should be. And we've got to learn to finish what we start. You young people. There's some of you, once you get started on that homework, finish it. And you're going to go to, I think you ought to finish the third grade, and you ought to finish the fourth grade, and you ought to finish the fifth grade. I think you ought to finish high school. I think you're to finish what you start. There are people here tonight, you have turmoil in your life, and part of your turmoil is you just don't finish what you start. Did you know that a whole bunch of unfinished projects will drive you batty? They'll drive you batty. Hey, look, folks, God saved you. God started a good work in you. Now let him finish it. Some of you, you started to get it together emotionally. There are people that you said, you know what? You remember the time the preacher preached on that subject of bitterness, and you said in your heart, I am struggling with bitterness. I'm going to the altar. I'm going to get this straightened out. I'm tired of being bitter about the hurt in the past, maybe a past marriage or a past friend that's hurt you. And you say, I'm going to get over this bitterness. I'm mad at my mom or I'm mad at my dad, and I'm going to get this thing licked. And you came to the altar and you started, but you never finished that. It's still lingering and it's still hanging on. So you started an emotional project, but you didn't finish that emotional project. That's a sign of emotional slothfulness. You young people, and look right up this way. You young people, let me tell you something. There's some of you, you're slothful. The fact that mom and dad will give you something to do, or whether mom or dad, the babysitter, anybody, they give you something to do, but they have to be on you constantly to get it done. I mean, your parents can say, do this, and you won't do it. Now, you better be careful. You're going to end up being a lazy bum someday. You ought to learn not to be slothful physically in your duties. Now, this next point, at first, you're going to have a hard time with it. Listen, number three, a sign of slothfulness. You say, what is it? Sometimes slothful people are tired all the time. Yeah, let me say, first of all, hardworking people are tired too. But you say, you mean slothful people are tired? Let me read a verse to you. Proverbs 19:15 says, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. Do you know lazy people are tired? They're tired. They're couch potatoes. Lazy people, you know, you give a lazy person some little job in just a couple minutes. Oh, no, take it. I'm thinking you only work for 2 minutes. How could you be so tired so fast? And I'll tell you why. They never get their engine running. Their metabolism is on, you know, it's going about 0 miles per hour. People that do not work are more tired often than the people that do. You know, I've been around people and I've been working diligently, and once I apply myself to going to work, I'm pretty well going to throw myself into it full force. And you can get around people that haven't even worked yet, but they're tired already. Why? They're not used to working. They're just not used to taxing their body, whether it be physically, spiritually, or even if it's emotionally. Look, when you don't serve God with your life diligently, you can get a little bit involved and be wore out before you know it. Whew, I'll tell you what. We went out soul winning for 30 minutes. But if you're not used to it, you're not used to it. And the Bible says slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. Let me prove it to you. There have been times when I said to myself, I'm going to sleep extra hours. Do you know if I ever get a bunch of extra sleep, you know what happens to me? I wake up more tired. There comes a point when too much rest is counterproductive in your life. You can actually cast yourself into a deeper lethargy, if you will. Look, folks, we ought to be exercising ourselves spiritually. That means stay active. We are to do that emotionally, and we are to do that physically. Now, number four, slothful people, it doesn't bother them if somebody else is carrying their load. It doesn't bother them. Listen to this verse. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says that if any would not work, neither should he eat. I need about 2 minutes on national television, and I could have our church be one of the most well-known churches in the United States of America. Give me a couple minutes to talk about how people that don't work are not supposed to eat. Now, indeed, I think there are needy people that we are to try to help. I believe that. I don't have any problem with that. But I'll tell you this, lazy people need to be told, if you're not going to work, the Bible teaches, you're not supposed to eat. It's a sad thing when people that won't work eat better than the people that will. That's a sad thing to me. Hey, let me ask you this, physically, does your boss make any profit off of you? Did you know that, you know, you thought your boss started that company just so you could get a paycheck? No, your boss started the company so he could get a paycheck. And again, if you're so brilliant and you're not satisfied with your boss, then you become the boss. We'll all come work for you so we can make the big bucks and the big benefits, because I know you can produce it as a boss. But until then, you're to go to work and you're supposed to make profit for the boss. It's not just a matter of, I put my time in. Oh, I'm very sorry. It wouldn't work out if I had a factory and you worked for me and said, well, I got my time in. You'd be putting your time in, hitting the road, Jack, because you are to be productive in life. But look, a slothful person, they don't mind if somebody else is carrying their weight. If you're a grown adult and you're living at home with mom and dad, you're to carry your weight. You shouldn't live there. I personally don't think you ought to live there for free. I think you ought to be paying your way. And it would be good for you anyway. You ought to be paying rent. You ought to be helping to pay the bills. If you can live, if you're a grown adult living with your mom and dad, and they pay the rent, and they pay for the food, and they pay for the insurance, and they pay for the electric, and they pay for everything, you're lazy. You're self-centered. There's something wrong with you, and you ought to get that right. And you ought to willingly be going to them and saying, I'm going to help. Why? That's responsibility. That's responsibility. And so you ought to be, and that's very good for you, by the way. You ought to learn to do that now, because later on you're going to move out and be on your own. And you'll need to learn to be responsible. It gets you in the rhythm of responsibility. What I'm telling you is this. We, as Christians, we should not all the time be letting somebody else carry us. Even emotionally. We have to apply ourselves emotionally. Do you know? I know marriages that are decent marriages, but they're decent marriages primarily because one in the marriage carries the heavy responsibility of the emotional contribution to the marriage. There's one that does most of the forgiving. There's one that contributes most of the happiness. There's one that's got more flex than the other. What is that? If you're married, hey, is your marriage happy because of you? Or is your marriage happy because of her? So, I got a pretty good marriage. Yeah, but you're a jerk. And you don't realize. You don't realize you're not, you don't have a happy marriage predominantly because of you, because you're emotionally slothful. You have a happy marriage because of him. You have a happy marriage because of her. Because you're lazy about attending to your emotional responsibilities. And they just happen to be strong in that area. They happen to be able to forgive and forget. They happen to be able to make up the slack that your laziness does not carry. You all okay? Okay. It got real quiet. Well, you know, listen, others should not carry you. I speak at churches across the country, and often pastors will say to me, I'd like us to have like a little staff meeting if we could, and I'd like for you to speak to my staff. And I say, what would you like for me to speak about? And they'll often say, well, I've heard you talk about staff members carrying their own weight around the church. And they love to hear me talk about that. Because I'll say to staff members, you bring in enough people into the church to pay your salary. It gets real quiet in the room. You know, somebody's got to produce enough people to pay the bills. You got to be able to do that. Somebody's got to, it's not a matter of somebody else goes gets them all, so we all did that so you could get a salary. That's not how it works. So listen, emotionally, at church, at work, there shouldn't be somebody else carrying your weight all the time. We're all to pull our own weight in life. Let's go on. Slothfulness. Signs of slothfulness are your possessions not cared for well. And I mentioned a little bit about this, but let me read to you. From Proverbs chapter number 24, I'm going to start with verse 30. It says, I went by the field of the slothful, by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Here the Bible's talking about a field that was grown up. And what happened is someone maybe had a garden, maybe they had a home, but it's all grown up and it's deteriorating because they had become slothful about the care of what God's given them. Folks, keep your home in good repair. Keep your car in good repair. Keep your tools in good repair. You know, we work at keeping our church bus in good repair. Your Sunday school class, that area that, and nobody had, no room belongs to anybody. We'll double use them, but anybody that's in a particular room, keep it in good repair. Young people, at home, learn to care for your room. Well, we ought to be able to go to your locker. The pastor ought to be able to go to your locker at school and take a look inside your locker. It ought to be organized. It ought to be clean and neat. You shouldn't have dirty socks in there from 3 years ago. Care for what God's given you. I know young people that say, Mom and Dad, I want some better clothes. You won't take care of the ones you have. I want more clothes. Well, you need to dig the ones that are crammed underneath the bed out and get them washed, and you probably have more clothes than what you need. It's just been a long time since any of them have been toward the washer and the dryer. Look, attend to what God's given you. I think if you would like God to give you more, you need to prove to Him that you will take care of what He's already given you. And by the way, emotionally, when you got saved, God gave you a new heart. Some of you got it all messed up already, don't you? You didn't attend to it. God gave you a clean slate in regard to your life. How much mud have you thrown on the clean slate? When He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. God made it so He gave you a clean start. How about if you boogered up that beautiful clean start that He gave you? Hey, God gave you a Holy Spirit, but you push Him away. Holy Spirit will help clean you up. God may give you more if you're not slothful, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. God can give you more if you're not slothful with what He's already given you. Number next. Slothful people tend to spend their time making up excuses. They're excuse makers. They're not problem solvers. They're excuse producers. Proverbs 26, verse 13, it says, "A slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way. A lion is in the street. As a door turneth upon hinges, so doth a slothful upon his bed." You know what's happening? The slothful man always comes up with an excuse as to why he's not going to go out and work. He needed to go out and work, but he said, there could be a lion out there. Now, if there's a lion out there, I could be eaten by a lion. So I'm not going out on Monday because there could be a lion. And I watched the news and they didn't get the lion on Monday, so I'm not going out on Tuesday either. Matter of fact, I'm staying home until I hear they got the lion. Some of you, you're afraid of alligators. So you don't apply yourself because there could be an alligator get you. Now, if you want, you can come up with every excuse under the sun why you don't apply yourself. But we were joking, Preacher Croom and I, and we were joking about how you can get a little bit of rain and Baptist people stay home from church. They just think they're going to die. They think they're going to die. Well, maybe someday you ought to go to Minnesota, where about this time of the year they're starting to get snow. And I don't mean a little bit of it. I'm talking about not Frosty the Snowman. I'm talking Abominable Snowman kind of snow. But yeah, everybody's looking for an excuse. Everybody wants an excuse. And listen, let me say this to you. If you're looking for a job, there is a job out there. There is a job out there. It's out there. There's no doubt about it. And you say, well, there's a lot of unemployment in America. Yeah, there are lions out there. Yeah, there are lions out there. I don't think you're going to have to worry about that lion. Your biggest enemy will be yourself if you're not careful. Slothful people are excuse makers. Hey, spiritually, what kind of excuses are you making up? Why don't you get involved? Why don't you want to do more for God? And emotionally, why don't you conquer your rage, your hate? There's even a certain amount of your depression that we can help you with. The Bible can help you with it. But we won't take on the challenge. Negative attitude, excuses. There are people who are very, very hard workers, but they use their energy to make up excuses to not have to work hard. You ever heard some people's excuses? You're thinking, wow, they're brilliant. How did they come up with that? If you would use as much energy to come up with solutions as you do to come up with excuses, you might have more success in life. And so, you work hard and God will bless you. Slothfulness. Now, I'll give you a couple more quick points and we're done. You know, I think the slothful, they tend to see hardworking people as abnormal. They do. They call them workaholics. Can I tell you something? I've never seen anybody die from working too hard. I'm 55, and I've never seen it. I've never seen on a death certificate, died from working too hard. Be careful if you're one that criticizes hard physical labor. And some of you, I feel sorry for you, because if you go to work and you really apply yourself, somebody's going to say, well, you make the rest of us look bad. You say, how do you respond to that, preacher? You go, nah, 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 nah. There are people out there that they will just look down on you if you work hard. Shouldn't be that way. But are you the kind that criticize people for working hard? Be careful, because if you're looking at people saying, you know, you make the rest of us look bad, and you say, that's ridiculous that you work like that. You know, if somebody wants to work hard, leave them be. Don't tamper with them. I think there's a safe way to work and a right way to work. But I'm going to tell you, I don't remember when I was growing up, my parents not one time ever said to me, now, son, be careful. Our insurance doesn't cover workaholic outcome. They never talked to me about not, you know, backing down and don't work hard. I didn't get raised that way. It was always, get up, get busy, stop making excuses, work hard, stop blaming everybody else for all your failures. I heard that all my life. I wish I wouldn't have. Been easier. But slothfulness, the Bible talks about it all the way through the Bible. Let me recommend something to you. Slothful people are not, they don't set a lot of goals in life. And can I tell you, you ought to set physical goals. I'm talking about with your physical accomplishment, your labor. I think you ought to set spiritual goals. I think you ought to set emotional goals. There are people in here, you need to set some goals about your temper. Your temper just gets out of control. It's time to get it under control. You say, I'm depressed 7 days out of seven. Then let's knock it down to six. Let's try to get it down to five. You say, will we ever get rid of all of it? I don't know, but we ought to get rid of all of it that we possibly can. Any part of it that's you, we could fix. You know, what's controllable, we should, but you ought to have a goal. You know, and if you don't set any goals, you know something, I would rather you set a goal and not reach it than have no goals. But slothful people aren't like that. Hey, and I'll tell you this also. Slothful people are usually offended if you teach enough that they see themselves realistically. They're offended with you. They say, I didn't like that. He was talking to me. I'm talking to anybody. I don't have anybody in mind. If you're slothful, I'm not shooting at you personally. You're the one that would know that. I don't know what goes on in you emotionally. There's not one person here. Do I watch you labor physically at your job? Now, if you say, you talking to me? You trying to make me mad? If you're mad, you better get mad at you, and you better talk to the Lord. I'm not shooting at anybody personally. I don't preach like that. I'm not afraid to tell you if you're right or wrong. But tonight, it may be that the Lord is saying to you, you've been slothful in an area. The scripture that we used in the beginning was Ecclesiastes 10:18. By much slothfulness, the building decayeth. Anything that you or I are building, anything God wants us to build, slothfulness will cause it to decay. Then it said, and through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. In other words, because we don't take care of it, it begins to fall apart. We'll fall through the hole, a hole in the floor, because we're slothful. I don't think we have a bunch of slothful people in our church. But the best way to keep it that way is to remind us not to become slothful. I do believe America is full of slothful people. I think there are slothful politicians at the White House. I think there are all over our government. There's slothful behavior. I think our corporations are falling apart because of slothfulness. I think our cities are falling apart because of slothfulness. Boy, business owners today, they say if you can get about 4.5 hours worth of work out of the average 8-hour-a-day employee, you'd be doing good. You want to know why? They're playing with their telephones. They're playing on the internet. They're playing with each other. They're goofing off. You get into work, and you know you're supposed to be there at 8, and right at 8, you're there. And it takes you 25 minutes to get mentally ready to do your job. It takes you 20 minutes to get ready for lunch, and 30 minutes after lunch to get back on the ball. And you're already mentally checked out. You know, you're supposed to go at 4, but by 3:30, you are ready to hit the door. And basically, you're getting yourself ready to walk to the parking lot and run. They can't get much out of And we wonder why the economy's in the shape that it's in. How is it that if you only are getting about half a day's work out of a whole day's pay, can the dollar's value be kept strong in an economy where you have characterless employees and people? Say, what would fix the economy? Just good old-fashioned dose of hard work and stop paying people to do nothing and giving people everything free. I'm not a socialist in any way, shape, or form, and I don't want a socialist president. I don't want a socialist program. Socialism is the precursor to communism, which is demonic. It's work hard and get rewarded. Hey, and for the people, and remember this, you say, I'm handicapped. Well, I understand. But did you know handicapped people still are not supposed to be lazy? Handicapped person is supposed to do everything they can do. A handicapped person might not be able to do everything that a non-handicapped person could do, but you're not supposed to compare yourself among yourselves. You're to do the best you can. You're to produce everything you can. And remember, the whole lesson is not just about physical slothfulness, labor. It's about mental slothfulness. There's some of it where our minds are lazy. For instance, there's some people, I can't keep their attention for 15 minutes in a sermon, and I work at it. I work at keeping people's attention. They're just lazy. They're just lazy. They're not going to attach themselves to the truth of the preaching of the Word of God. They're mentally slothful. But we're not just to be aggressive and productive physically, but it's to be spiritually. It's to be mentally. Be careful. Slothfulness, not just in one area of life. And someone asked me one time, they said, Brother Owens, we've watched through the years, and you worked for Dr. Hiles and had relative success, and you built some things there. And then we seen your church in West Virginia, and it grew. And now we're watching your church right down there in New Bern, North Carolina, and it's growing. They said, what's the key? I said, easy. Write this down. W-O-R-K. That'll take care of it. It's called the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord. And when you go to work, that's what you're supposed to do. And even if you say, I've got issues with my body, well, there's things you can still do. You say, well, I could only put in 30 minutes a day. Then you ought to be putting in your 30 minutes. God never gives you a free pass and said, just lay around. For the rest of your life, just lay around. No, God never intended that. God would not require you to do what you cannot do, but God will require you to do everything that you can do. And that's what God wants out of us. Young people, if you'd listen to what I just said, you'll be more happily married. You'll be more successful in school. And there are all sorts of young people who'd like to have money someday. Well, probably it's not going to be handed to you. You may have to earn it. And what are you going to do? Don't be slothful. Don't be slothful. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The question is, do you maybe not see yourself realistically? Hey, and believe me, I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want to be in a church where people are mad at me and upset with me all the time. I wish you'd get upset with yourself. If you're slothful, slothfulness, what does it do? It robs you. It steals from you. Let's be assertive and use what God's given us. I'm going to bow my head. I'm going to close my eyes with you. Who here tonight would raise your hand and say to God, God, there are areas in my life where I'm being slothful, maybe emotionally, maybe spiritually, maybe physically. But God, you've spoken to my heart tonight. I want to do something about it. Who here could raise your hand? I'm not looking. Don't you look around, but you say, Lord, there's some areas of slothfulness. I need to get them cared for so I can glorify you in my life. You can put those hands down. Here's what's going to happen with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play at this moment. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Teenager, are you slothful at home? If your mom, if your dad, if your teacher, if the babysitter, if grandma or grandpa always have to get on you, you won't finish what you start, you won't work hard, you're lazy. It might be you need a moment at the altar. Hey, have you all ever heard the term mooch? Mooch. I heard about moochers. That's people that everybody's always carrying them, always taking care of them, always attending to everything for them. Don't be like that. Don't be like it at work. Don't be like it spiritually. God, do the work. I don't want anybody to hurt yourself because you work hard. I think that's silly. You got to keep yourself safe and healthy so you can keep working. So don't drive your health in the ground. But I've not seen a lot of threat of that. Spiritually, get on the ball. Physically, get on the ball. Emotionally, get on the ball. There's some parts about your emotion that it may take God Himself to attend to those things. Okay, I understand that. You can't fix what God needs to fix, but there's some parts that you can fix. And we want to heal those parts and make them strong. One more time through the song, we'll pray and be on our way. Slothfulness. Slothfulness brings decay in anything that you're building. Look back at me if you